A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 12, 1993, entitled, God with Us in the Meantime. The scripture readings are Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 17, and Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. The texts for the sermon are Isaiah 7, verse 14, and Matthew 1, verse 23. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
As a community of God's people, as a community of faith, we declare, we affirm, we confess that our trust is in God. We trust the God of the beginning, the God of the end, and the God with us in the meantime, this in-between time. The God of the beginning, the God who spoke and called all things into being, the God whose breath or wind or spirit enlivens all that is alive, the source of all. And the God of the end, the God who is the goal of all, the one to whom all life flows, the God of the beginning, the source, the God of the end, the goal, is the God who is with us in the meantime, this in-between time. And while it is good to be able to say in faith, in the beginning, God, and while it is full of comfort to be able to look to the future and say in the end, God, as a matter of fact, our human existence, our story, is characterized by the meantime, this in-between time. Advent is a season of waiting. And there is nothing more difficult for the human person than to wait, and yet to wait is so characteristic of our human situation. We are always waiting for something to be born, for something to come about, to be consummated. In the meantime, this in-between time, this is the time, the only time we ever have, this present moment. And it is the Advent message, and it is the Christian faith, and it is the conviction of this congregation that it is in this in-between time, this present moment, that God is with us. That we are not alone, but there is the presence of that one who is present to us in the meantime. When Matthew, some decades after the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, set about to tell his story of Jesus, to write his gospel, he reached back 7 centuries to an experience of the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, whose king was Ahaz. He reached back to that instance, not in order to teach us something about that ancient history, but in order in that ancient history to see an analogy of what he understood to have happened in the coming and presence of Jesus. In that ancient instance, King Ahaz in Judah was trembling in his boots because the troops of Israel, the northern kingdom, and Syria to the north were ringed around Jerusalem. And they were ringed around Jerusalem because they wanted King Ahaz and Judah to join them in an alliance against a greater power, Assyria, whose ascendancy was obvious. But Ahaz, sitting in Jerusalem, said, I don't want to join that alliance, because if I join that alliance, it'll just trigger this bigger fella over here. And so he was trying to figure out what to do when the prophet came to him and said, don't do anything. Trust God. You won't stand firm unless you stand firm in faith. Trust God. And he said, that's a nice piece of escapism. Don't you hear their drums? And the prophet said, well, then ask a sign. The king didn't want to mess around with God or signs or faith. He said, well, I wouldn't want to tempt the Lord God. And Isaiah said, then God will give you a sign whether you want it or not. You're going to do what you and your old willful way want to do. And what he did, as a matter of fact, was send a fax to Assyria saying, we'd like to be a part of you. And they became a part of Assyria, which means that his diplomacy led to the subjugation of Judah anyway. But apart from that, the sign that was given to this king in the midst of his vacillation was that a young woman would bear a son, and his name would be Emmanuel. And Emmanuel in Hebrew, if we knew the Hebrew language, it means God is with us, God with us. And that was a most irritating kind of sign, because every time Ahaz had occasion to reflect on the folly of his ways and his refusal simply to stand still and trust God, here was that little kid running around, little God with us, little God with us. Little God with us was spilling his milk, little God with us was dirtying his diaper, little God with us was creating all kinds of havoc, and every time Ahaz wanted to forget, here was this little God with us running around, little God with us, this little child, a constant source of irritation to the king, God's sign. Emmanuel, little God with us. And when Matthew wanted to tell the story of Jesus, he remembered that story. And so he pulled the chapter out of that story, and he put it at the beginning of his story of Jesus. Because what he wanted to say was that in the coming of Jesus, God was present with God's people. What he wanted to say, that in this child, there was a sign of the presence of the eternal God. Because Matthew understood the gift of Jesus supremely as the gift of the presence of God with God's people. And just to underscore that, I said he puts this story at the beginning. But do you remember how the story ends? Do you remember your Bible? Do you remember Matthew's Gospel? Do you remember the 28th chapter? Sure you do. Jesus taking his disciples out there to the mountain. Jesus giving them the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach this gospel to every nation. And the last words of the gospel, do you know them? Do you remember them? Jesus said what? Jesus said, and lo, what? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew framed his story of Jesus with this instance from an Old Testament story that spoke of the presence of God in the gift of a child. And he had Jesus before his ascension saying once again the truth that he had meant to tell in the weaving of his story, I am with you, the eternal God, with us in Jesus. Jesus, ready to leave now, affirming that he would be with us, in the Spirit, so that the God of the beginning, who is the God of the end, is the God who is with us in the meantime, this in-between time, this now of our lives. And as I said, it's wonderful to have some sense that what is not just a mistake or an accident, but the consequence of one who said, "Let there be." And it is most comforting to believe that when we've breathed our last, our end is only a new beginning. But as a matter of fact, in the meantime, here and now, the only moment we have is this moment in which to trust God, the presence of God with us here and now, in every circumstance and situation. God with us. Signed in a child in Bethlehem, promised in the risen Christ about to leave the arena of human history. The good news of the gospel and the Advent message. God with us. Not everyone believes that. I like to get the argument against that position phrased as sharply as I can. I like to know what I'm up against. I like to know what the other option is. A couple of statements that I've shared with you from time to time, but stated so well. Eric Fromm, the psychoanalyst. There's only one solution to the human problem. To face the truth, to acknowledge our fundamental aloneness in the universe, indifferent to our fate, to recognize that there is no power transcending us which can solve our problems for us. That's the other side of the coin. That too is a brilliant analysis. That is a very real possibility. Total aloneness in a universe indifferent to our fate. The Nobel Prize-winning biologist Jacques Monod, in his book Chance and Necessity, put it this way. If he accepts this negative message in its full significance, man must at last wake out of his millenary dream and discover his total solitude, his fundamental isolation. He must realize that like a gypsy, he lives in the boundary of an alien world, a world that is deaf to his music and as indifferent to his hopes as it is to his sufferings or his crimes. Incisively stated, isn't it? That really is the choice. Jacques Monod, Eric Fromm, they say we are alone. The gospel of Jesus Christ says there is someone here with us. If we are fundamentally alone, which is the finest analysis of the modern mind, using all the possibilities of human rationality, then it is true. The world is deaf to our music. The world is indifferent to our hopes, to our sufferings, and to our crimes. Because there's no one there. That is a possibility. That is that which is aligned against the message of the morning and indeed the affirmation of faith of this community. Trusting God, the God of the beginning, the God of the end, and the God with us in the meantime, this in-between time. I believe God with us. But I believe it. It is an affirmation of my faith. I believe a good case can be made for it. But an equally strong case that can be made against it. Finally, I must believe it. If I would live in its comfort and dwell in its light. But I do believe it. Because I do not believe that this universe is indifferent to our suffering nor our crimes. I do not believe that we who are dreamers full of hope could be so disillusioned as to find one day that hope is to no avail. And I do not believe, when I hear music, that there is nothing more that this paltry human existence is all there is. When I hear music, I believe in God, who is not indifferent to my hope, to my suffering, nor to my crimes. The God of the beginning, the God of the end, who is the God in the meantime, God with us. Thank God.